praise of the goodness of God. Dear Lord, we love you so much, and we're so thankful for your goodness and your faithfulness. God, we just ask that you just speak to us now as Brother Roddy comes and shares your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, brother.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. This morning we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, specifically the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'll get to more details here in just a little bit. Our scripture is going to be in the book of Acts. We're going to be in several pieces of it right there. But this morning, like I said, we're going to look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now and I thank you for this day. This beautiful day that you've created, Lord, with your hands for us to live for you, to love you, to serve you. This morning we have gathered into your house, Lord, to worship and praise you, sung beautiful hymns and praises to your name. We have prayed about your goodness, God. Now, Lord, as we open your word, teach us, strengthen us, guide us, counsel us this morning. And we will walk closer with you. I pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, looking at the Holy Spirit, especially the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see in the first part of the scripture right there that we're going to see this morning, this is Pentecost. Now, Pentecost happened 50 days after the resurrection. Now, a lot of people think that Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit happened at that moment. But actually, the celebration of Pentecost was already going on with the children of Israel. They would have a week-long celebration called the Passover. And 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover, they would have what the next celebration would be Pentecost. But God took that moment in time right there to send down the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. Not only the disciples, but all believers with it. You see, the moment you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into you. He indwelled you at that moment in time. It wasn't a process. It wasn't like, well, you got to do this or that. At the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwelled you. But now there's a difference between indwelling and filling. And we're going to see that this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells all believers at the moment of salvation. But we as believers, we have to be filled with Him. All right, let's start with the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, this is 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. That's all the disciples, all the believers. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, people read that passage right there, they say, well, some things have to happen. They say, oh, well, you got to have a tongue of fire on your head. I'm sorry, that didn't happen to me. I don't know about you. But if I saw a tongue of fire come down, I'm going to probably be running for the door. I'll just say that. No, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells the believer in the moment of salvation. Speaking other tongues, I've actually had people tell me this before, say, well, you got to speak in other tongues being dwelled by the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit empowered them at that moment in time to speak in other languages, because as you read through the next passages of Scripture, you'll see that people from all over were there in Jerusalem. Remember, they were celebrating Pentecost. They came from all over. And guess what they were hearing for the very first time? They were hearing the gospel in their native tongue. And that's what was catching their attention. So, just a side note with that. You don't have to speak in tongues and you don't have to have a fire come down and land on your head. The Holy Spirit comes in and indwells that person at the moment of salvation. And we see it happening right there. That's what took place. And they began to speak in other tongues, as it says. And the people were astonished because they were hearing these Galileans, these Jews speaking native tongues that they'd never been able to speak before. Now that would shock me to death, I'll say that. I've been told I have a tough enough time with just plain old English, much less another language right there. But here they were speaking fluently, actually. Other language, why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter himself, actually Peter begins to lead and he preaches a sermon. We're not going to go into all the details of it, but verses 14 through 41 of chapter 2, he preaches this sermon. And guess what? Out of that sermon, 3,000 souls were added that day. Everybody, only one preacher I know around that might could do something like that, Billy Graham. But there's many preachers that would see something like that happen right there. But here's Peter. Why is he bold and why is he preaching like this? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He even healed a lame man, which carries us into chapter 4 right there of Acts. Because the Sanhedrin hear about this and they arrested him. Him and John. And they brought him in. And that's what we see in the next verse right here. Chapter 4, verse 5. On the next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there. And Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of highly priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, there it is, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if it were on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed and began to recognize them as they had been with Jesus. So John and Peter are standing before the Sanhedrin. That is the ruling body of the Jews at that time. You had two divisions. You would have the Sadducees and Pharisees. And you can go back throughout the New Testament and read about the differences between those. But I want to point out something. Did you notice some of the names right there? Go back with me to verse 6. And Annas, the high priest, was there. Caiaphas. Those names ought to ring a bell. Maybe if we go back into the Gospels, you will see that at the time of Jesus' arrest, guess whose house he was brought to first? Annas' house. Then he was carried to the high priest at that time, Caiaphas. So these were the same men who had Jesus arrested. Same men standing around Jesus at that time. Guess what I bring out with that is the fact that these were also some of the same men who were standing there probably when they heard Peter deny Christ three times. So I bring it out to the point that here Peter standing before them, and he's not denying Christ now. Why is that? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not denying Christ, not even once, not twice, not even three times. He's standing before them and he calls them out, basically. If you go back and you look and see what he said right there with it, he said in verse 10, "Let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ Nazarene, whom you crucified." Boy, that's kind of a slap in the face right there to them. He just goes ahead and lets them have it. Wow, that's amazing for Peter to go from denying him three times over a campfire, basically, to now he's standing before the Sanhedrin, the ruling leaders, the very ones he used to be afraid of. He's standing before them and said, "Yes, we did this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one you crucified." And he goes on right there. And he tells them that you rejected him. Verse 11. "He is the stone which was rejected by you." Well, I mean, he's on fire. Why is that? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter is standing before them now, filled with the Holy Spirit, and proclaims boldly about Jesus Christ. And look at verse 13. "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize they had been with Jesus." The Holy Spirit filling Peter. He was unschooled. He was ordinary in that. But he was standing before them. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they send Peter and John out and they begin to talk. We're not going to go through those verses. But then they bring them back. And that's when we'll go back into verse 18 of chapter 4. "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." There it is. They tell them, don't do it. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Wow. Let me remind you of something. This was 50 days, a little after that, 50 days after resurrection. You know, Holy Spirit came. But if you do the math, let's see, Peter denied Jesus Thursday night. So that would be 53, that'd be 54. People would remember Peter in denying him. And now he's standing before them. And they tell him, don't speak about Jesus. And Peter says, No. We can't stop. Why is this? Why is, you see, the bravery of Peter? Again, it's the filling of the Holy Spirit right there in him. Now, Peter and John go back to the other disciples, the other believers, and they tell them what happened. They go back to them because they released them. They couldn't do anything else to them. What they were afraid. So they released them. Now it takes us into the other passage of Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. And they've told the other believers what the Sadducees and Pharisees told them. They share it and they tell it with them. Look what the believers do at this time. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So Peter and John go back and they tell them, hey, the Sanhedrin just told us no more. Instead of worrying and wondering what was going to happen next, which, by the way, actually, at the death of Jesus, that's what they were doing. Remember, when Jesus was arrested, even his loyal followers ran away at that moment in time. And they were afraid after his death, even, that they would be next in line. So instead of praying, oh Lord, please take this away from us, please protect us, they prayed and asked God, give us boldness to speak your word even more. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, again, like I said, there's two different things, indwelling and filling. Because back at Pentecost, they were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into them. Now you see the filling of the Holy Spirit because their boldness and courage is there before us. But also I want to stop for 1 second and look at verse 31. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. I wrote this down. I want to quote it to you with this. I wonder what would happen if all believers, when I mean all believers, I'm talking about all denominations that profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I wonder what would happen if all believers in this country came together and prayed, really prayed. I believe this country would be shaken. Well, Brother Roddy, where do you get that from? Just what it said right there. They were all together and they prayed. When they were together, they weren't just physically together. They were together in unity in Jesus Christ and they prayed. Folks, if we would all come together and pray, really pray, we will shake this country and shake this world. I firmly believe that. Why is that? Because guess what? The Holy Spirit will fill each one of us at that moment in time. And now there are other examples of believers being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't ask Elton to put all of them up on the board. So I'm reminded of Stephen. Do you remember Stephen? Remember the choosing of the seven? Where in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it says, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And actually, we would see that later on with Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You will see that Stephen, standing there, about to be stoned, and this is what it says in chapter 7, verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Here's a man about to die. And because he was full of the Holy Spirit, he stood there and saw the glory of God. The Lord opened up the heavens and allowed him to see. And I always like to point this out too. Jesus standing. You know, we read in Scripture that says Jesus ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the only time you'll see and you read that Jesus was standing in approval, standing in recognition, standing in honor of Stephen right there. And guess what Stephen does? Instead of yelling out, Lord, take care of these people. Avenge my death. He quotes what Jesus said from the cross. Father, forgive them of their sins. The only way a believer can do that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even in that moment that death is there, you can only be filled with the Holy Spirit to have that kind of answer. But we can go to Paul. There are many scriptures that talk about Paul being filled with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, after the road to Damascus, Ananias comes to him. This is in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And you can read throughout the scriptures where Paul is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only that, even the disciples. And the reason I'm saying this is, we read about believers in the Bible being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and we tend to think, well, they're in the Bible. They were called by God. They were special. That's not the case. Remember, all believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? All believers are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have several quotes here I want to read to you. Right there. This is one by A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer. He was a missionary, pastor, author. This is what he says. "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part of the total plan of God for His people." I'll read it again. "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part of the total plan of God for His people." In other words, you don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be a Franklin Graham. You don't have to be a Mother Teresa. You just have to be a believer. Oh, well, those people in the Bible right there, their names are written in the Bible. Yes, and they're very blessed by that for all eternity. But the Holy Spirit fills everyone. Everyone. Because it leads me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now a lot of people take it and they focus on that first part, but that's really not what it's about. It's actually talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the original Greek, the phrase "be filled" is present tense verb. Now remember, I'm not an English major. I have to look that kind of stuff up right there. So what is a present tense verb right there with it? It denotes that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time event, but it's a continual experience. You see, it's not a one and done deal with the Holy Spirit. We must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Brother Rodney, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Yes. He is our seal of salvation. And God says He will not take that seal away. You believe in Jesus Christ, you accept Him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and He is our seal forever. He will not take it away. He won't say, "Well, Roddy, you've been bad over here. I'm taking the Holy Spirit back." No, He's not going to do that. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is an addition in this. And I'll get to that. You see, the indwelling is a one-time experience. The filling is a continual process, repeated again and again in the life of a believer. But let me say this one distinction about that. That doesn't mean I'm getting more of the Spirit. What it does mean is the Spirit has more of me. Remember, at the indwelling, you get all the Holy Spirit. All of Him. But being filled means I'm giving Him more of me in that. And that's what it's about. Here's a definition that I've come up with about the Holy Spirit. It is the state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that He came into my life to do. Again, it is the state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that He came into my life to do. He came into my life at the moment of salvation. And being filled means I'm allowing Him to do all He came into my life to do. It is called control by consent. That means I'm giving the Holy Spirit control of my life, control of my interest in my life with that. By making that choice. And guess what? That choice has to be daily. Again, it's not a one and done. You don't just do it one time at salvation. You have to do it every day. Lord, fill me this day. Like I said right there, it's a state. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not an emotional experience. It's not reserved for a few super Christians. It is nothing more than a normal Christian life when the Holy Spirit is in control. And we are to be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit. But you and I want to be honest, we're not. When we're committing a sin, we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit at that time. So the question is, okay, Brother Roddy, how do I do that? How do I accomplish that? Well, let's be honest. You and I, it's impossible for us to do. But God can fill us. His Spirit's already there. His Spirit can fill us. But one thing it depends on is this. Or two things, really. There has to be an emptiness and an openness. Two things. An emptiness and an openness. You see, you cannot fill a jar if it's already full. And you cannot fill a jar if it's closed. So you and I, as a believer, we must first have that emptiness and openness. And we must come to that sense of need to say something like, Lord, I am empty. I need to be filled by Your Spirit. That willingness, Lord, I am open to You. Let Your Spirit fill me now. The filling of the Spirit is really rather simple. As long as we have that conscious of our need for Jesus and that long to be filled by Him and yielding to Him. You see, God's given us the Holy Spirit. He's with us all the time. And He's there to fill us all the time. But before there can be fullness, there must be an emptiness in that. Before God can fill us with Himself, we must first be emptied of ourselves. Now you might be thinking, well, Roddy, why don't you talk about some sins or something? Actually, pride is the worst one. Selfishness. And that's the biggest one, really, of them all. See, we got to be empty of ourselves and be total dependent on God. Dwight L. Moody, evangelist, says this about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of selfishness and ambition and self-seeking and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will come in and fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit, ambition and self-seeking, pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. I also believe that many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already of something else. Before we pray that God will fill us, I believe we ought to pray that He would empty us. There must be an emptying before there can be a filling. When the heart is turned upside down and everything that is contrary to God is turned out, then the Spirit will come and fill. Dwight L. Moody, evangelist, right there. You see, we are filled with something. And a lot of times in some of those things that he just said, pride, conceit, ambition, self-seeking, pleasure. And we have to be emptied. You see, there is something in our life that so consumes us that it takes up all our time, all our interests, all our lives, and our hearts. If a man is filled with anger, anger will control his life. If a man is filled with greed, then greed dominates his life. If a man is filled with love, then love influences all he does. What consumes you? We must be emptied of all that. We must allow God to empty us in order to fill us. So the phrase, full of the Holy Spirit, it describes a person who habitually lives with every area of his or her life under the control of the Holy Spirit. They are not self-willed, but Spirit-led. Another quote I'd like to read is from Corrie Ten Boom. You might remember her, survivor of the Holocaust. Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. I'll read that again. Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. Why is that? You're trying to do it in your own strength. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. In other words, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, others will know. And the other side of that coin is when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, others will know. In conclusion, I want to ask you two questions. The first question is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Not indwelled. If you're a believer, you're indwelled. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If not, then what are you full of? What is taking that spot in your life that consumes you so much with that? Let me ask you this question. And this one right here kind of brings home a lot. If the Holy Spirit pulled out of your life for a week, would you miss it? Or would life pretty much go on as usual? That puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? In other words, if the Holy Spirit pulled out of my life, would I even know He's gone? Would it be life as usual? My prayer is, no, Lord, no. I want to know the difference. I want to feel the difference. You see, God has called us to live a life of daily dependence on His Holy Spirit. And you and I, we have to have that emptiness and that openness. And say, God, fill me. This morning, we're going to have an invitation. You're here this morning. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That's not me to answer. No one else but you. You might be sitting there where nobody knows. Let me ask you. If you turn to that closest person in your life and you said, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? What would they say? What would they really say? Because remember, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, people know. Why? Why is that? Because Jesus flows out of us. And when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? People will know. They will know by our attitudes, our actions, our reactions, all that. So this morning, this invitation, If you're a believer, you ask yourself, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I want to encourage you. If you're not, then make that change today. Have that openness and emptiness happen. Come down to this altar and kneel. Come down, I'll pray with you. Now you might be here and you're saying, Roddy, I'm not even a believer. Guess what? God brought you here this morning for a reason. He wants you to have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit and be filled with that Holy Spirit as well to live for Him. And you have to start by believing. So if you're not a believer, you come down. I'll pray with you this morning on that. But we're going to have this time of invitation. Again, it's between you and God. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now. Lord, there are people here right now, God, that need to be filled. I pray, God, we will open up our hearts and our lives to you right now. Fill us. Empty us of all that's in our life right now that takes up our space for you. And then fill us with you, God. If there's someone here who's not a believer, God, I pray right now they will come to you this morning. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you.
If you would, let's stand. Our hymn of invitation will be, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Thank y'all for being here today. And that reminder of what the Holy Spirit actually is. That voice inside of us that says, this is what you need to do. Again, a reminder about Vacation Bible School. See Ms. Rhonda about any help you can be. She needs as much help as she can get. And our June 6th workday and the day at Eagle Lake. Just a time to go in fellowship and have a good time and have something to eat. I think that's all, Jack. We thank y'all for what y'all do. And all right, been a good day, amen? All right, let's sing Victory of Jesus as we leave.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Y'all have a blessed week.